Amen and amen. Well, tonight, I'm going to go over some things about Proverbs with y'all. And we have done this in youth. I'm going to go into a little more detail tonight. But the thing that's fun about Proverbs for me is the difference between Psalms and Proverbs. And it's fun when you look at the difference between the two. Because in Psalms, it talks about your relationship with the Lord, right? And in Proverbs, it's our relationship with people. And Psalms, where Psalms talks about, you know, spending time on our knees and just really getting before the Lord in prayer, Proverbs spends time talking about the streets of our cities. It talks about the pressures and challenges of our everyday life and that what we deal with all the time, right? Psalms, it talks about how to praise. It's more of a vertical thing, where Proverbs is more horizontal. And sometimes we forget about this book as grown-ups because we think this is something that we can teach our kids, you know, sometimes. And then as we get older, we really don't read Proverbs that much. But I have found that in reading Proverbs, not only does it save you from a lot of woes, but there's so many things that can speak out in just one verse to you. And when you break down the meaning of Proverbs in Latin, it literally is four words, and as in F-O-R, four words, and it's words for life. So it's words, these little quick phrases that God gave just so that we had an understanding of what wisdom really is, why she's crying in the streets, and why it's important to us no matter if we're 1 year old or all the way up until we're 100 years old, right, if we live that long. The other thing is the breakdown. If you look at the breakdown, now this is Tammy speak, okay? So I know everybody probably has a little bit different take on it. But when I look at the book of Proverbs, if you look from chapters 1 through 9, it's more wisdom for youth. It's more wisdom for the younger years. And I encourage our youth to read Proverbs because seriously, if you really read it and you tuck it in your heart, it'll pop back up in you as you come across things in your life. And then chapters 9 through 22 are kind of wisdom for the whole family. It's kind of something that everybody can use. And then if you look from there to 22 to 31, it's wisdom for all of us. So that's how I break it down when I'm reading it. Because, you know, sometimes when you're reading a book, like I said, it's easier for you to, you know, you start reading chapter 1, you're like, oh, I don't even know if that really applies to me, or blah, blah, blah. And even though it might be more youth-geared, yes, it still does apply for you. But that's how I break that down. And the other thing that's kind of fun to do, just on a side note, is there's 31 chapters in Proverbs, right? And there's months with 31 days of the year. And what we did in youth is I had them, now coming up in May, I believe May is another 31-day month, right? Yeah. And I encouraged them to read a chapter a day. And they could actually finish reading a whole book of the Bible, because some of them had never read a whole book of the Bible from beginning to end before. And there's something about that, too. There's something about the enemy has a hard time messing with your head, you know, when you're actually reading something every day, right? You know, because he likes to make you feel like timid, shared before, not good enough, or you don't do anything, blah, 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 blah. I don't get anything out of the word, blah, blah, right? All that stuff. But I actually take this to heart and maybe make it a challenge for yourself in May. Make it a Proverbs challenge. Read a chapter a day and get through the whole book of Proverbs. And then what I had the youth do is I had them, after doing that, we were going chapter by chapter, but I had them talk about a verse that meant something to them as they were reading it. And what was really cool was it was the verses that I wouldn't have thought they would have gotten a lot out of. Does that make sense? You know, I'm thinking the simple ones. I wasn't thinking these, you know, they were getting all these deep things out of it. And I was like, wow, okay, that's amazing, Lord. That's cool. So just as a challenge to y'all, the main key verse, of course, in Proverbs is Proverbs 1:7, where it talks about, well, I can actually read it to you, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. And Jesus actually is the wisdom of the Lord, right? Right? Jesus himself walking around on the planet was the wisdom of the Lord. If you read Proverbs 8, 22 through 31, it says, "The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works, before his deeds of old. I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the word began. When there were no oceans, I was given birth. and there was no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the earth or the fields or any of the dust of the world, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizons on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundary so the waters could not overstep his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, when I was the craftsman at his side, I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world, and delighting in mankind. Now then, my son, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not ignore it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. God himself is wisdom. He was there when it all started. And he knows the things that we don't know. And he understands the things that we don't understand. And Proverbs talks about three, I told the youth, I put it this way. Proverbs talks about the three losers. Are you curious as to what they are? Proverbs 1:22 says this, "How long will you simple ones love your ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery? And fools hate knowledge." So in that verse, he talks about three things, simple ones, mockers, and fools. And that's what I called our three losers. Because if you follow after them, you're going to be kind of doomed for destruction, as the Old Testament were to say, right? There's the scorner, the fool, and the simple. Now, the scorner, the Hebrew word for scorner literally means to make a mouth. So kind of picture a sneering smile. You know that person that when you try to correct them has that like look like, I already know this. I don't even need to hear you. I don't even know why you're wasting your time. That kind of thing, that's how scorner breaks down. I know none of us are like that ever, right? They don't deal with correction very well, and actually they won't be corrected. That's Proverbs 9, 7, and 8. And I won't read all these verses, but I do have Bible verses for everything that I'm talking about tonight. They also will be judged one day. Specifically, they will be set aside and judged. Proverbs 19, 29. Now, a fool is a person who is dense, sluggish, careless, and self-satisfied. They hate instruction. That's Proverbs 1, 7 through 22. They're self-confident in their ability outside of anything to do with the Lord. Proverbs 12, 15. They always talk without thinking. They like to say the first thing that comes out of their mouth. And they mock sin. They show disrespect for anything to do with God or rules. I know we don't know any people like that either, including ourselves, right? The simple, when you break that down, it means believing everything everybody tells you, and you lack discernment. So if someone tells you the sky is purple, the sky is purple, and you start telling other people the sky is purple. You have no foundational facts for why the sky is purple other than the fact somebody told you that. Now, you can kind of see that you can get in trouble if you do either of those three things. But see, we do things like that in our everyday life all the time, right? And I'm not trying to, like, come down on everybody. But I am saying, even in my own life, when I started researching this out, I was like, oh, they don't deal with correction well. Yeah, sometimes I don't deal with that very well when someone says something. You know, what is your first response when someone tells you something a little correctively, you know? And as far as the fool part, there's many times I have spoken without thinking and then went, why did I say that? You know, I shouldn't have said those things, right? And then the simple, just believing everything. And this I always use as an example of, you know, sometimes, yes, the anointing is on men to preach the word of God. But when you're reading a book, when I read a book, a lot of times I have the book here And when they say Matthew 17:25, I actually look up Matthew 17:25 because you'd be surprised. Now, sometimes it's typos, too. That happens. But you'd be surprised how sometimes what they're saying that verse means, I don't see it in there. You know, and sometimes we're just too easy. We read more books sometimes than we do this one. And because of that, we don't know if we're reading a lie or the truth. So I would just say beware on that, because it's really easy to be a simple-minded person in that sense and just believe what it is that you're reading and thinking that it's God. A lot of times, too, you know, you have to hold your, when God gives you, when he starts sharing with you, I'm trying to think of a better way to say it. When God gives you revelation on a certain verse or something, there's a difference between revelation and theology. So you want to be careful, because your revelation on a verse, when you tell someone else, they might take it as more of a theological thing, and you might not know that yet. You might not know if that's exactly right or not right. Does that make sense? So be careful that when you're sharing something, Larry does it all the time. He's great at it. He'll step out of the pulpit and he'll say, this is something that I think or that I believe or the Lord might have shown me. And then he'll step back in the pulpit and he'll go over what the word says. And that's just learning to be wise in wisdom, because we could trip somebody up and not even realize that we are. And I don't know about you, but theology is also something that you should always hold with an open hand. Because what I believed when I was 10 years old about sin and what I believe now at my age that I'm not going to say is way different, right? Thank you, 26. I know my birthday's in April. That's why I don't want to talk about it. But we have to be careful, because our theology changes as we grow in the Lord. And that same verse that you just knew what it meant, you just knew it. It was like the one you stood on. All of a sudden, 5 years from now means something completely different. So I always say, hold your theology with an open hand, because God moves with you and grows with you as you grow up. It's just like the same thing with a little child, right? And we don't want to be any of those three losers. Because what does God say in Proverbs about if you're wise? What's the difference from what I just said? And now, what happens when you're wise? Well, the wise do these things. The wise listen to instruction. That's Proverbs 1:5. They're very good listeners. As a matter of fact, they listen more than they talk. They obey what they hear. Proverbs 10:8. When God speaks to them, they don't doubt it, because they have spent enough time with the Lord to know the difference, and they act on it. And how many know when you act on what you hear, he gives you more? And when we back up, he waits. He doesn't want us to walk in disobedience. They store up what they learn. Proverbs 10:14. We don't have to say all we know, right? Tim teases people all the time when they're talking about things. He'll say, you don't have to say all you know. You know, and it's really true. They store up what they learn. Like I said, that was Proverbs 10:14. They win others to the Lord. Proverbs 11:30. You know when you are around someone that really walks in the character and the wisdom of the Lord, because you see their life looks differently. They talk differently. I'm not saying they're perfect or that they have $1 million, because that has nothing to do with walking in wisdom, and that has nothing to do in walking in the favor with a relationship with the Lord, right? But you can tell their demeanor is different. As a matter of fact, you want to be around that kind of person. Because they always come across with, they're very thoughtful in what they say. They don't run off of emotion. And they run off what they believe this says, right? Which is the goal for all of us. And in doing so, you can't help but win others to the Lord. When I worked at Mars, and everybody's like, what? But I worked at Mars, the candy company Mars, and they also had a pet food division. And I worked there for 15 years. And I did multiple things in the 15 years, but when I was a supervisor there in customer service, it would astound me how you can live out Proverbs every day without Bible beating people. And eventually a lot of my team would be like, how did you know that? Or how did you learn that? Or you make these comments all the time. And you actually can start sharing about Jesus with these people. And it just opens the door, all because you're just living out loud what God has done in your life. And it's so strikingly different from what the world has, because it really doesn't have anything long-lasting. It's very short-lived. Anything the world gives you is very short-lived. But when you start walking in, and you're not sitting there at the table eating lunch, you know, and no offense, women sometimes, it's just interesting, right? You get in a customer service bin with about 10 women, it's just interesting, especially when they're not saved. But, you know, you're sitting there, and they're just, you know, man-bashing and talking bad about their husband, and I just never said anything. And then one day, finally, somebody's like, well, how come you don't say anything? And I'm like, because I love my husband. He's my best friend. Oh, yeah, right, huh? No, he really is. Well, it's one thing to say it, but then as they see you live it, now pretty soon they're like, okay, what do you have different in your marriage that I don't have in mine? Well, his name is Jesus, because no marriage is perfect. And you just can just start that way to share the Lord. So it's really, really true. It really wins others to the Lord. Flee from sin. The wise always flee from sin. That's Proverbs 14:16. They don't mess with it. They don't have time for that. There's no time for that, right? There's no value added in doing it. They watch their tongue and how they talk. Proverbs 16:23. And I told the teens when I went over this, I said, this is so, so, so important, because what you say, you believe. You hear yourself talk long enough about whatever it is that you're saying, you're going to believe it. And you have to be careful that what you're saying is what this is saying, especially when it comes to your identity, your value. Oh, the enemy is brilliant at telling you what you're not. Amazing. And we just tend to believe it. We just tend to believe it, right? Well, if we put more of this in there and we started speaking more along the lines of, no, I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm a new creation. You know, if we started actually walking out what we're saying, you're going to start believing what you're saying. Then the wise, the last one is, they are diligent in their daily work. Proverbs 10:5. And basically when you read that, they're not lazy people. They don't sit and wait for something to drop on them. They actually take care of what they need to take care of. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom. And if you want to start being wise, it's the fear of the Lord. And fear there breaks down to the awe and the respect for the Lord. Now, what happens, though, if you don't do that? What happens to the results? Because I started looking at it, and I'm like, okay, so we have these things. We listen to instruction. We obey what they, you know, what we hear. Store up what we learn. Win others for the Lord. Flee from sin. Watch our tongue. We're diligent in our daily work, right? That's what happens when you're wise. But what happens if you aren't doing that? What happens to the three losers? Well, that got me on kind of a little study, because I'm like, what happens to them? What happens to the scorner and the fool and the simple? Well, it isn't good. Let's put it that way. The scorner, he rejects wisdom and he met destruction. And that's Proverbs 1:24-27. He listened to folly and he received destruction. Proverbs 6:32. So obviously that's not a good thing, but that's what the Bible says happened. Now, what happens to the fool when he rejects wisdom? Well, he rejects wisdom, and it actually led to death, Proverbs 8:36. He listened to folly, and he received death, Proverbs 5:22-23. And the simple rejected wisdom and actually went to hell, Proverbs 9:18. He listened to folly and ended up in hell, Proverbs 7:27. So that wasn't a small thing, right? So basically, in following after that, everything ended in destruction, death, or hell. One of the three things there. That's why Proverbs is so important, and that's why our daily walk with the Lord is so important. And y'all, that's why getting in here is so important, not just watching YouTube videos and television shows, but literally breaking open this book or getting it out on your phone and starting to really know what he is saying to you, because he will have a personal conversation with you, I absolutely promise. And you'll be surprised that when you do that, how much around you you start hearing in and around that verse or in and around what you're reading in this book. The other thing is the enemy can't combat this. He can't. So you speak the word at the situation, you speak his word, he can't. He can't undo this word. And he knows that better than we know that. If we really understood what speaking this word did in the spirit, I think all of us would be really surprised. I really do. But God is growing us up, and every day, in every way, he won't stop. He really won't, which is amazing to me, because he's that kind of God. And like I said, I'm not saying this to browbeat anybody. I just want to encourage you, because I think a lot of things, I think if we studied the word on, we'd have things solved, even more than sometimes we'd have to go to counselors for things. And I'm not saying counselors are a bad thing. I know amazing Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled counselors. Well, even still, Steve and Jill do that here at our church, and God uses that. But I am saying it's interesting how a lot of times you point someone back to this, and that kind of solves the problem in itself, right? Proverbs has practical and functional moral wisdom that comes from the right relationship with God. Again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Being wise starts with that right relationship with the Lord. I feel like I can't say that enough. Because the one thing that we forget is wisdom is protection. It's protection for us. It's not rules because God wants us to do what he says, how he wants it done. And if we don't do that, we're going to hell. That's not that kind of a father. He's a father that says, I know if you touch the stove, you're going to get burned. And I don't want that for you. I want you protected. I want you safe. I don't want that for your life. And how many know if you could go back and undo some things, you could have saved yourself a whole lot of problems, right? And how many want to tell your kids, don't do what I did, you know, save yourself, you know, kind of thing. But wisdom is protection. There's an amount of protection when you're wise. And Proverbs 4, 6, and 7 talk about it. And I'm going to read that to you really quick. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Wisdom is the supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. Esteem her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will set a garland of grace on your head and present you with a crown of splendor. Isn't that beautiful? He says, my wisdom will protect you and keep you. Don't turn your back on wisdom. You know, I love when it starts out saying that. You know, don't be so quick, you know. There are three steps when I was reading this and doing this study, for me anyway, that I felt the Lord was showing me to help live a wise life. Because the first one was to rely on Father God. I do really good at the beginning. You know how you start out going, okay, I need a job. I'm just going to use that as an example. Okay, I need a job, Jesus. I know you got it. I am completely trusting you. A month goes by. Okay, God, I need a job. I know you got it. I know that you know the plans and the purposes for my life, and you have chosen me before time began, and I know that you've got this job, right? And you're applying and you're doing things. And then 6 months goes by. I don't know where you are, but I don't have anything to eat, and I need a job. Help. I don't know what to do. I'm lost. I'm just completely lost. Where are you? Okay, 9 months goes by. Now I'm mad. Look what happened. I am doing all of this, and you aren't doing anything. Where did you go? Right? That's what we do. And I've been like, Lord, I have to learn to rely on you. In good times and bad times, like Paul said, whether I have a lot or whether I have a little, I have to believe that you know where I am. I have to believe it. I have to believe that you got this and that you got me. When I was in the emergency room last night, I'm sitting there and you know, you're just like, okay, Jesus, I have to believe that you knew we were going to be in this situation on this night. I have to believe it. And I am going to trust that you have her and that you have us. I'm going to stand for that and I'm going to believe it. It's the truth. You have to go there, right? Because what really is the choice when you do the other? What's the choice? What happens when you do the other? Despair? What else? Fear? Yes. Oh, gosh, yes. Most of the time, you jump and end up doing something you shouldn't have done in the first place. When God had something even better just right around the corner for you. I keep telling, it's funny, I can't say who I was talking to, but I was talking to someone the other day, and I was like, don't panic. Because your response is panic. You know, I don't know. And then anxiety starts to come on you, and the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, with prayer and supplication, take your request to the Lord. He's a God who hears, like I talked about last Wednesday. He is the God who hears. Let him form all of that emotion into words and into prayers, and then just watch him move. And know that if you need help standing for it, grab your brother and sister in the Lord and the body. That's why we're here. Please, don't stay on an island somewhere and just struggle and just struggle and just struggle. You know, we want to know. And as a family, wouldn't you want to know? I'd want to know. You know, if Michael's having a hard time and he needs help, I would want to know. I would want to know that. Because like I said, that's why we're in a body in the first place. So rely on the Father. The second one was think before you act. I think doing this one thing would save us a whole lot of problems, right? Caleb, my son-in-law, needed a place to store horses, and we have 8 acres, and so he wanted to bring his horses out on the property. And, you know, so he brings them out, and oh my gosh, first of all, that was the coolest sound in the world to have hoofs just come out of a trailer and just start running through the property. I have to, seriously, it gave me goosebumps. I'm like, whoa, this is cool. But his little daughter was there too. Now, keep in mind the fact that horses, they don't know whether you're 3 or 300, right? And what you don't want to do is just go running in there to pet them, right? This is not a good plan. You want to find out first of all, especially you all have rescue horses, so I'm sure they come in with some problems and all kinds of fun when you do that. So it is always better to think before you just decide to just go up and pet one, right? Well, we had an electric fence. Now, praise God it wasn't on, or that's exactly what would have happened, you know? As a matter of fact, we had some of youth out one time at our house, and we unplugged it because I'm like, they were playing hide-and-go-seek in the dark. Can you just about imagine what that would have been like? A whole awakening experience right there. Yeah, well, you'd only do it one time. Yeah. So anyway, think before you act. And the third thing was use failure as your teacher. And I have spoke about this before. How many have ever seen the crazy movie Meet the Robinsons? It's a cartoon movie. Okay, y'all have seen it. Okay. I love cartoon movies. It's weird, but I just do. And in this movie, he fails a lot. And what does he do when they fail? They celebrate it. They were like, you failed! That's just amazing! I've seen better failures than this one, but yeah, you did a great job. I just loved that. In that movie, I started laughing. I'm like, yes, that's exactly right, because failure can actually be the best teacher we have. Instead of beating yourself up over it when you make a mistake, you just realize it and go, Father, help me never do that again. You know, and be quick to apologize to a person if you are actually hurting someone else. Be quick to do that. But let failure be your teacher. The truth is we're all human. We aren't perfect. We are going to make goofy decisions. But some of the wisest people learned from their mistakes, and they also didn't keep making the same ones over and over and over again. And wisdom can build a bridge, too, in relationships. When you start reading the back half of Proverbs, if you struggle at all with relationships with people, or you want to learn how to be a better friend, this is the book for you. There is just some simple things that God will show you that you can use and operate in. Just some simple things. See, he knew it all, right? He knew what we needed. He knew we needed the beauty of Psalms and the beauty of the relationship with him. And he also knew that we needed the instruction and the teacher of the Proverbs. He knew we needed that kind of wisdom because he knew we needed to be protected, mostly from ourselves, I think, sometimes. But it is very true. It does protect you. So, you know, maybe when May comes around, I want to challenge you. Why don't you take the Proverbs challenge and read a chapter a day, you know, and just see what the Lord speaks to your heart. And like I said, if there's other areas that you're going through where you're like, Lord, I don't know how to approach it. I don't know what to do. Pull out Proverbs. And like I said, the beginning, look at how, you know, he talked to the youth in wisdom there. And in the middle, look at how the middle of Proverbs goes over the family dynamic. And then at the end, look at the wisdom that he gives all of us in there. And I bet you anything, there's an answer in there. And I really feel, before we close, to kind of go back to that point of, if you are hurting, please don't do it alone. You know, everybody in here is amazing. I'm looking out here, and I know all y'all, and you are all amazing people. And the wisdom that you carry and the life that you carry and what God has put in you just is amazing. And if you guys have those moments, please, you know, the worst thing we can do is try to be perfect. We don't want anybody to know. Or, you know, I don't want to say anything. I want anybody to look differently at me. That's just rubbish. That's just lies, right? A family loves no matter what. A family cares no matter what. And in a family, even if it, with your own children, if they did something horrible, you would still love them because they're your kids, right? And I believe that God is going to knit the body of Christ. Well, he already is actually doing it. I know people preach about how terrible the church is and how awful the church is, but I got to tell you something, y'all. I've been in churches my whole life. I grew up on the road. I traveled with my parents. From the age of 6 and 7 on the road, we were in multiple churches. And I've got to say, I have met some of the most wonderful, beautiful, amazing people and pastors on the planet. There is way more than just this goofiness of, yes, there's church splits, and yes, there's all this, because we're people. But I don't care if you're in the church or you're in an office building. That's what happens with people sometimes, right? The enemy has just magnified it in the church because the religious society says you need to be perfect. That's not what God says. He says you need to be relational and know you're loved just the way that you are. Can we stand? I just want to make a simple close in prayer tonight. And some of you all have asked me as an update on Larry, and like I said, I'm just believing that he had a good day up until an hour before church. He was planning on being here. So we're just going to keep believing that the strength that he had all day is going to increase to carry him through 24 hours a day, you know? And I just want to believe for both of them. He really is standing strong, and I want to believe for both of them for really sweet sleep tonight. Can you believe that with me? You know, he's so funny because he misses y'all very much, and he loves deep. He's a man that says what he means. And I have heard him pray many times for this body, and it's very humbling, very, very humbling. And I told him, I said, you know, what's so sweet about this place is you wanted a family, and God has given you one. And I think he's given him one of the best families ever. Because like I said, I love y'all. I love this place. I know in time it's going to get bigger. And I got to say, this is going to sound so weird. I'm good. Like, I'm going to kind of miss it. You know, when it gets to be 300 or more people, I'm going to miss this. I'm going to miss these family Wednesday nights when I knew every single person's name in here. You know? So, like I said, I know it's going to change, but let's cherish what we have now, and let's believe for our pastor, because he has the family that he's been looking for. And Father God, I thank you for that. What an amazing house this is. What amazing pastors we have. We have amazing board members here. We have amazing people here, Father God. I just ask that you bless each and every one tonight. Father God, I thank you for Laura and Larry. And we stand, like I said, for total health and healing. And we stand for more strength. We stand for more. I thank you for the more. I thank you that tonight they will sleep in peace, knowing, Father God, that you are holding them, that you are just holding them. Father God, there's times that sometimes I just picture running into those arms of yours, Father God, and I just ask tonight that you envelop them in those arms tonight. And I thank you that they feel that anointing and that they feel that love and that they feel your presence, Father God. I thank you for that. And we expect good things. And we expect miracles. And we expect, Father God, that this wall is coming down. And we expect, Father God, salvations for those that we're believing for, Father God. For the sons and daughters of yours that I know you're calling home. I know it. I can hear your voice calling them, Father God. And I thank you for that. And we say, come home. I thank you for God encounters in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father God, again, for each heart here that as they study the word and they get to know you more, that you bring them into deeper places with you. Now bless them and bless this night in Jesus' name. Amen. Love y'all.